We need to recognize that God is faithful to His Word. He is faithful. Brother and sister, may you recognize that God is faithful and that His Word is absolutely trustworthy every bit. May you depend upon Christ and believe what He has said.
Welcome to this Wednesday edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a daily radio outreach from Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina, and our teacher is Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church. Greg, today you'll emphasize an attribute of God's character that plays a major role in answering the question, how can we keep from trusting in our own wisdom, strength, and ability?
So with that in mind, let's find out what that attribute is. If you have a Bible handy, turn to Genesis chapter 21, and we're going to be looking at verses 1 through 7.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, today's message is one you'll want to share with a friend. Just tell them to visit etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. They'll find today's broadcast as well as a host of other archived broadcasts waiting there for them. Our web address, again, is simply etsradio.org. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
Now, a couple observations we need to make as we look at this in the beginning. First of all, it is the Lord who is doing this. L-O-R-D in large caps. That speaks of Yahweh. That's the great I Am, the self-existent one. That is His covenant-keeping name. It is the Lord who is doing this. And notice He literally took note of her. And that word means to visit or to attend to. You might have some translations that say visit. The Lord visited Sarah. It also carries the idea of concern or care in certain contexts. Now, often when this term is used in the Old Testament with its New Testament counterpart in Greek, we often see this, that in within a relationship with the living God, there is usually, with this word, divine visitation or care, usually in context of blessing or salvation or cursing and judgment. God will visit blessing, in a sense, upon someone, or He will visit cursing or judgment, in a sense. It's a pretty serious term when it's used in these contexts. We see the wonderful statement in Luke chapter 168, this New Testament Greek term, which is translated the same in the Old Testament Greek translation of the Hebrew. Luke chapter 168, as Zacharias is prophesying concerning Jesus, the Savior. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for He has visited us and accomplished redemption for His people. Very serious when God visits, in a sense, His people in that context. We see when Jesus raised the widow's son from the dead in Luke 7, the people understood this concept. They said, God has visited the people. A mighty work has happened, in a sense. In 1 Peter 2:12, for us, it helps us understand really how this term is used when Peter speaks of our behavior in front of those who don't know Christ. 1 Peter 2:12, keep your behavior excellent among Gentiles. That's in the context of faith. So then the very thing they slander you as evildoers, they may account of your good deeds as they observe them and glorify God in the day of visitation. So we kind of have a better idea. This is significant. It's not simply just taking note of Sarah. He is bringing forth His plan specifically in relationship to Sarah. He is visiting her in that sense. So it's very important. And notice this happened at a certain point in time. Then the Lord took note of Sarah as He had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as He had promised. And what did He do? Verse 2, so Sarah conceived. She conceived, as we'll see, in her old age, and bore a son to Abraham in his old age. And God was faithful to His promise, as we'll see. He causing a barren woman and a man far beyond the time in which she could bring forth a son to bring about conception and then for her to give birth. And as we'll see in a minute, this was miraculous. But I find it really interesting how this miraculous, amazing event is so simply declared here in this passage. There's no fanfare. There's no excitement in the way it's just simply declared. God did what He said, and He came upon her, and she brought forth, obviously, a son. And I think it's important that we need to see here the emphasis is not necessarily the birth itself, but the faithfulness of God to His promises. That's the emphasis that we need to see, although the birth is very crucial and important. Verse 1 again. Then the Lord took note of Sarah. Notice this. As he had said. And the Lord did for Sarah, notice this, as he had promised. So Sarah conceived and bore a son to Abram in his old age at the appointed time, notice this, of which God had spoken to him. Three times we have the emphasis of God fulfilling his word, fulfilling his promise. Here we see the faithfulness of the living God to his word. And it's been 25 years since Abraham understood the beginning of these promises coming forth. The Lord had promised back 25 years earlier that he would be made a great nation, chapter 12. And in his seed, all the nations would be blessed, again, chapter 12, ultimately pointing to Christ. Then in chapter 15, he made it clear to Abraham that his heir would not be his servant, Eliezer, but that from his own flesh, God shares with Abraham, his descendants would be numerous as the stars. And as the Lord affirms, he would establish that covenant in chapter 17. He made it clear that Abraham would be a father of a multitude of nations. And he also made it clear that that would be through Sarah. Look at Genesis chapter 17. Go back a little bit. Genesis 17, verse 15. Then God said to Abraham, as for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. And I will bless her, and indeed I will give you a son by her. God is promising to give Abraham a son, now more specifically by her. Then I will bless her, and she will be the mother of nations, and kings of peoples shall come from her. And then in chapter 18, the Lord makes it clear of the timing in which it would come forth. Look at chapter 18, verse 9. This is where the Lord and those two angels had visited Abraham and they dined together. Abraham was hospitable. And God shares his truth with those he fellowships with, by the way. We saw that. Genesis 18, verse 9. Then they said to him, where is Sarah, your wife? And he said, behold, in the tent. Now, we know the tent walls were kind of thin. We'll see that in a minute. And he said, I will surely return to you at this time next year, and behold, Sarah, your wife, shall have a son. Now we have the promise of the timing in which this would happen. And Sarah was listening at the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in age. Sarah was past childbearing. Very important. This is a miraculous reality. And Sarah laughed to herself, saying, after I become so old, shall I have pleasure in my Lord being old also? And the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I indeed bear a child when I am so old? Is anything too difficult for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you at this time next year, and Sarah shall have a son. Well, our passage makes it clear that God was faithful to that promise. That he was faithful, that he fulfilled his word. That he did it at the appointed time, that he brought forth and took note, as he had said of Sarah, and did for her what he had promised. You see, God is faithful. And the focus here in our passage, I believe, is the faithfulness of God to his word. We need to see God as a faithful God. We need to believe what he says, because so often we will go off in life and we will know the truth, but we don't personally at those moments believe the truth of what God has said in relationship to our circumstances and situations. Here we see the focus here is the faithfulness of God. And we need to know this in our heart of hearts, that God is faithful to his word. You have to know that. We serve a faithful God. And understanding his faithfulness is crucial to walking rightly with the living God. So often I find people who are having so many struggles, they're not believing truth about the living God, about what he has said. No matter how much they say, I trust the Lord, the statements they make do not line up with the truth with what God has said, and we need to believe what he has said. He is a God who keeps his word. He is a faithful God. And I want to share some passages relating to that. First of all, I'll just remind you of what we saw back in Genesis 9, that God brought forth his bow or his rainbow to show his faithfulness, that he would keep his word and never again destroy the entire earth by water and all flesh. So he'd never do that. You see, in Deuteronomy chapter 7, Moses shares God's faithfulness. Let's turn there. Deuteronomy chapter 7. We have to believe that God is a faithful God, that He keeps His promises, that whatever He says, He will do. That is a characteristic of those who are walking with the Lord, by the way. Deuteronomy 7, verse 9. Know therefore that the Lord your God, He is God, the faithful God, who keeps His covenant and His loving kindness to a thousandth generation, to those who love Him and keep His commandments. He is a faithful God, Moses says, inspired by the Spirit. Go up to chapter 32 of Deuteronomy, verses 3 and 4. Moses shares this also in his song. Deuteronomy 32, verses 3 to 4. For I proclaim the name of the Lord, ascribe greatness to our God. The rock, His work is perfect, for all His ways are just. A God of faithfulness and without injustice, righteous and upright is He. I could stop there. We could go home right now. God is a faithful God. He is a faithful God. But let's continue. Look at Psalm chapter 36, verse 5. We need to know this in our hearts, that what God has said, He will do. And sometimes there's a delay in that. And there was certainly a delay with Abraham and Sarah. But yet He delayed until the point that they knew that they couldn't do it through their own flesh and ways, and that only God could do it. And they believed, as we're going to see. Psalm 36, verse 5, Thy loving kindness, O Lord, extends to the heavens. Thy faithfulness reaches the skies. God is faithful. He will do what He says. Go up to Psalm 89, verse 1. Psalm 89, verse 1. This is a maskil of Ephraim the Ezrahite. And this is a person who is declaring the faithfulness of God inspired by the Spirit. I will sing of the loving kindness of the Lord forever. To all generations I will make known Thy faithfulness with my mouth. For I have said, loving kindness will be built up forever in the heavens. Thou wilt establish Thy faithfulness. I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn to my servant David, I will establish your seed forever and build up your throne to all generations, Selah. And the heavens will praise Thy wonders, O Lord, Thy faithfulness also in the assembly of the holy ones. For who in the skies is comparable to the Lord? Who among the sons of the mighty is like the Lord, a God greatly feared in the council of the holy ones and awesome above those who are around Him? O Lord, God of hosts, who is like Thee, O mighty Lord? Thy faithfulness also surrounds Thee. God is faithful. Look up a little farther, Psalm 91, verse 4. He will cover you with His pinions, and under His wings may you seek refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and bulwark. He's faithful. He's going to protect you. Up a little farther, Psalm 92. A psalm for the Sabbath day. It is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to Thy name, O Most High, and to declare Thy loving kindness in the morning and Thy faithfulness at night. To declare His faithfulness. You're not going to declare it to others if you don't believe it in your heart. If His word isn't running through your heart. Psalm 100, verse 4. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and bless His name. That's good for us as we come together, by the way. For the Lord is good, His loving kindness is everlasting, and His faithfulness to all generations. And you know this passage, Lamentations 3:22. The Lord's loving kindness indeed never cease, for His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. And then the New Testament, we have the declaration of God's faithfulness. Paul extols His faithfulness in 1 Thessalonians 5 as he says, Now may the God of peace, verse 23, sanctify you entirely and may your spirit, soul, and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. At the end, last verse of 1 Thessalonians, Faithful is He who calls you and He will bring it to pass. 2 Thessalonians Chapter 3, verse 1, as Paul is talking about asking for prayer to be delivered from perverse and evil men because not all have faith. In contrast to that, he says, verse 3, of chapter 3 of the 2 Thessalonians, but the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. You can note these down. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 12 to 13. If we endure, we shall reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. A couple more. Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold fast our confession of hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. God wants us to know about his faithfulness. We're going to see later on that Sarah considered him faithful, Hebrews 11. 1 Peter 4:19, therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God entrust their souls to a faithful Creator in doing what is right. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In Revelation chapter 19, we see that Jesus is called faithful and true, the Word of God. God is faithful. We need to see it. God is a faithful God who keeps his promises. We need to see him. We need to consider him as faithful. If we don't consider him as faithful, then we're going to step out in our own abilities and try to take care of things, no matter how subtle it might be. And because God is faithful, his word is faithful. Turn to 1 Kings chapter 8. This is when Solomon's dedicating the temple. He's praying, and he finishes his prayer, and he declares wonderful truth about the living God and his word. 1 Kings 8:54. And it came about that when Solomon had finished praying this entire prayer and supplication to the Lord, he arose from before the altar of the Lord, from kneeling on his knees with his hands spread towards heaven, and he stood and blessed all the assembly of Israel with a loud voice, saying, blessed be the Lord who has given rest to his people Israel, according to all that he promised. Not one word has failed of all his good promise, which he promised through Moses, his servant. Not one word has failed. We know that elders, Titus chapter 1, are to be holding fast the faithful word. God's word is faithful because it comes from a faithful God. And we see that back in our passage. Then the Lord took note of Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as he had promised. So she conceived and bore a son to Abraham in his old age at the appointed time which God had spoken to him. Now from Abraham and Sarah's point of view, it took a long, long time. But God was faithful. Abraham waited 25 years. We have a hard time waiting for the microwave. We really do. We are impatient. But we need to recognize that God is faithful to his word. He is faithful. Brother and sister, may you recognize that God is faithful and that his word is absolutely trustworthy every bit. May you depend upon Christ and believe what he has said. We certainly see that God's faithfulness is emphasized here. God is faithful to his word. He will not fail you nor forsake you. His word is based on his faithfulness. Now, it's interesting. I want to point out one observation here as I've studied this. It's important to note that God did not establish this promise or bring it about until two things, as we'll see. One, Abraham and Sarah were too old, which we'll look at in a minute. But secondly, before they were both truly believing the promise. It's very interesting. We know from chapter 17 that Abraham laughed initially, pleading for Ishmael. But then we know from Romans chapter 4 that he believed from that point. Turn to Romans chapter 4. Abraham, at this point, he didn't waver. He believed the promise of God. And he grew strong in faith, giving glory to God. Romans chapter 4, verse 19. Romans 4:19. And without becoming weak in faith, he didn't come weak in faith, he didn't waver, he contemplated his own body, now as good as dead. This is interesting, because he was as good as dead, his body in relationship to be able to bring forth a child. And notice what else. As good as dead, he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. Verse 20, yet with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith, giving glory to God and being fully assured of what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Brothers and sisters, we need to be that way about every promise that God gives. We have so many promises. When the Lord God says He'll guard your heart and mind in Jesus, believe the truth. He's a faithful God. Everything He says is true. It's true. But notice we also see that Sarah didn't believe initially, but she comes around. Look back at Genesis 18, verse 11. Sarah didn't believe and she was reproved. We know she certainly didn't believe earlier when she was trying to get the child through Hagar, but now up at Genesis 18, we see here she's fairly old now. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in age, Genesis 18:11. Sarah was past childbearing. And Sarah laughed to herself. This is based on the Lord saying that by next year she's going to have a son. She laughed to herself saying, after having become old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? She didn't believe. She didn't believe the Lord's word. And the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I indeed bear a child when I am so old? Is anything too difficult for the Lord? At the appointed time, I'll return to you at this time next year, and Sarah shall have a son. Then turn up to Hebrews chapter 11. It's important that we realize that at the time that Sarah conceived and gave birth, she believed the promise of God because she considered Him who promised faithful. She had come around. And often the Lord is waiting to fulfill things in our lives till we believe the truth concerning what He has said. Hebrews 11, verse 11. By faith, even Sarah herself received the ability to conceive, even beyond the proper time of life. We won't get into it, but obviously her earlier statement was, shall I have pleasure? This is impossible, Abraham being so old. But obviously, by faith, she did believe, even beyond the proper time of life, since she considered Him faithful who had promised. Do you consider Him faithful who had promised? You see, His word is faithful. He is faithful. Therefore, also, there was born of one man, and to him as good as dead at that, as many descendants as the stars of the heaven in number and innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. Sarah considered Him faithful who promised. Do you consider Him faithful who promised? How can we not walk in a way where we are wavering and trusting in our own wisdom and understanding? We need to consider Him faithful who promised. And inherent in that is knowing His promises. We need to know His word. We need to go in His word. We need to dive into it, that God would instruct us through His word and we would know Him better. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing from the word of Christ. So often when I talk to people who are all over the map concerning their faith, often I find out they're believing their own wisdom and understanding over what God has said. They consider their own musings faithful rather than what God has said. We need to deny those things, to shoot them down in our hearts and minds and believe what God has said. God is a faithful God who does what He says, and it's crucial for us to know this and remind ourselves. So how can we keep from trusting in our own wisdom, strength, and ability? First, we need to understand God is faithful. He will do what He says.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, and today's message is from Greg's series in Genesis. You can hear today's message again by visiting us online at etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. Now, in addition to today's message, you'll find other Bible studies and audio series at our website. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all of our audio resources are provided at no cost to you. This is made possible by the Lord's faithful provision through listeners like you. For more information about this series in Genesis or the ministry of Equipping the Saints, visit us online at etsradio.org. Greg, as you just concluded, the attribute of God's character I was alluding to in our introduction is, of course, His faithfulness.
Yes, He is faithful. He is 100% faithful to what He has promised. And the miracle of Isaac is just one powerful manifestation, not only of God's faithfulness in history, but also of His almighty power to make everything He promises happen when He wants it to happen. And for us, all we really need to do is to believe His word and to trust in a faithful God.
As we close today's broadcast, here's an important message from our teacher, Greg Lundstedt.
Hi, this is Greg Lundstedt, and it is my great privilege to study and teach the Word of God and to share it with you each day on this radio station. And as you listen, I want to ask you this question. Has Equipping the Saints been a blessing to you? If so, would you prayerfully consider coming alongside us financially? You see, your financial partnership with us is so appreciated. So on behalf of the team here at Equipping the Saints, we want to praise our Lord and thank you for your prayers and financial support.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, to partner with us, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. Or if you prefer to send a gift online, our web address is etsradio.org. Well, we hope you make plans to join us again right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints.